Good morning. It's 7:03, 34 degrees. This is WCLU Local News. And leading us off this hour live from Washington, D.C. is Congressman Brett Guthrie. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning. Good morning to everyone.
And we know, of course, yesterday we saw a lot of things unfolding at the Capitol yesterday. I know, of course, was a historical day anyway, but things, going on at the Capitol yesterday. Talk about some things that you were observing yesterday and just your position in all of that.
Yeah, a lot was going on as the day started out. Well, they had the rally in the morning, or I guess about the 11 o'clock hour, down towards the White House. So people know D.C., the Capitol is about a mile and a half, I guess, or 2 miles up Pennsylvania Avenue. But that's where the rally was, and we were going into joint session at 1 o'clock. And so you go into joint session, called the roll, got to Arizona, and there was a debate on sitting the electors or counting the electors of Arizona. So we devolved into the House and the Senate, so we separated out. And I'd spent, probably the last several days discussing what we were going to go through the afternoon with House members. So I personally, luck for me, I wish I'd have been there to help people, but just the luck for me personally was I said, I'm going to go back to my office and watch the Senate debate and listen to Senator McConnell, Senator Cruz, and see what they're saying, because I've heard House members speak back and forth. So I was actually watching the Senate debate. If anybody was watching the Senate at the time, Senator Lankford was speaking from Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, they just gaveled out and started moving. And I said, wow, that's something quick just happened. And I was about to head back. After he spoke, I was going to walk back to the House anyway. So I was about to walk out of my office, essentially, and we got the notice that we needed to shelter in place. And sort of from there on out, really was watching what everybody else was watching on television, but just a few hundred yards away from it.
Sure, and I know, of course, like you said, watching on television, of course, major networks were talking with some members of Congress and others just in the general vicinity outside the Capitol. As far as you, did you hear anything or at least observe anything while you were sheltered in place?
Well, what we were observing before that happened, before the people violated the security of the Capitol and broke into the Capitol building, in front of the Republican National Committee, somebody put a pipe bomb. And I'm still not sure the actual facts of that story, but there was at least a reaction to a pipe bomb, whether it was, I still haven't seen it verified, and I can see that from the window of my office. So while I was listening to the Senate, we were watching all the police cars rush there and said, oh no, we just kind of wonder if this is the start of a day that never dreamed it would be what it became, but just it was going to be a long day of our police, and my thoughts were for our police officer having to, how much work they're going to have to. I didn't realize they were going to be assaulted and knocked over and treated the way they were treated by this mob that came into the Capitol building. I mean, they literally were, you could see it on television, they were assaulting police officers to get into the Capitol building.
Sure, and I know a lot of people from just what the general observation has been is that this is kind of a shocking thing considering that this was the United States Capitol as far as a major security breach like this. What do you think this means moving forward?
Well, we absolutely have to do a view of it. And just at the top level, when we started talking last night after we get back into session, there was some real concern about just the image, and I understand that when we knew this was going to happen, of having the Capitol surrounded by military, the National Guard. So there was a decision not to do that, and this is just people talking on the floor. I hadn't heard from the sergeant in arms, and so trying to it's going to be a big crowd there. We knew it could be anytime you get a big crowd like that, you have to make sure you have extra security measures. There were, but we really didn't have the military surrounding the Capitol building. And quite honestly, I think knowing what I knew before all this happened, I probably would have made the same decision, because I don't like that image throughout the world that, you're having to protect the counting of electoral votes by the military. Turned out that was the wrong decision not to have them there, unfortunately.
Sure, sure. And, of course, just moving away from sort of those events and obviously what kind of incited that mob yesterday, just talk about briefly what your position was with the electoral vote and, of course, certifying those results into the evening.
Well, that's we didn't certify. That's the whole point of everything that we had yesterday. Right. And I know that there was a move to try to get the Congress, which was never going to happen because it took five Democrats to vote. If you said that Congress had the authority to do this, then it would take five Democrats from the House of Representatives to vote, and you weren't going to get a single one. There was zero chance of that ever happening. But the argument was that the House of Representatives and the Senate could judge the way that other states conducted their election. And if you read the 12th Amendment, and I did read the 12th Amendment, I've read it about every way you can read it, it is clear that once you get certified electoral votes, then you have to count them. It says the president of the Senate shall open them, and I think there became a move, well, what if the president of the Senate just didn't open the electoral votes? And the president of the Senate is the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some pressure on Mike Pence, they knew they couldn't win in the House if it was just a party line vote. But then you got to look back, and I say, you know what, you're not obligated, I take an oath to the Constitution. So if you look at it, once they arrive signed, sealed, and delivered, if you read the 12th Amendment, I know we've argued it back and forth with people here, all Congress does is verify that the President of the Senate counted them correctly. It's how it's set up. However, you got it. Well, what happens if there's issues? They're not regularly given. They weren't legally certified. There were issues before moving forward. And it is clear in the second article of the Constitution that state legislatures have the opportunity. That's who does that. It sets up the rules for the state. And there are questions. There are absolutely questions of, there were six states that were the executive, like extended the deadline, started early voting. You hear a lot of different things. But in that, not a single state legislator protested to us. That's a legislative body. I mean, we got letters from individual legislators. And I said yesterday, as we were discussing this, I said if the legislature could not go into session because the governor has to call them, but they sent me a letter with 50% plus one House and Senate members saying don't count our electoral votes, then I would take that as constitutional. What you would prefer is the legislature meet and send you a separate slate of delegates. Then Congress has to make the decision, and that's what the laws were designed for us to, that when they say the 1887 Electoral Act, to see if there are competing legislatures, completing slates of electors. And that's happened in the past. In 1876, some states had different governments because of a relic of the Civil War, a reconstructed government and a popular elected government. So they both sent slates, and that's what all of this, before, Congress has never done this before 1876. And that's, so the way I decided, and I think is constitutional, that's why I decided this way, regardless of what I wanted the outcome of the election to be, I have to vote according to the Constitution, and we couldn't just not count states' electoral votes that they sent legally certified, and their state legislature didn't take action to not tell us not to.
Sure, sure. And as far as today, you know, what lies ahead, obviously, the day after all of these events going on, what's the general environment like there today?
Well, the next move would be the inauguration, and then moving forward and seeing how we can work together to try to get things done for the country. The Senate's going to be 50-50, and with the vice president being the president of the Senate, that'll give the chairmanships to the Democrats, which is the unfortunate thing about that is I was really hoping that we could get committees, and you only can do them if the chairman will do them. And in the House, unfortunately, even though we're only 13 votes down, it was 222 to 2. Well, it was 222 to 213, not 13 votes 9. Then we still can't call witnesses. So I was hoping we'd have an opportunity to bring all this out about what standards for elections we need to have in every state. But still, the federal government doesn't tell states how to run the elections. That's clear in the Constitution, but at least we can expose more and more of this stuff and have people within their states understand what's going on. If they want to make a change, they can make a change.
Absolutely. And one last thing, just to wrap this all up, I know there's been significant talk about, of course, one congresswoman is drafting articles of impeachment. What does that look like when we're less than 2 weeks from the inauguration anyway?
Oh, I just think that's way too early to do any. I mean, we're only 2 weeks away from the inauguration. The House is actually probably not going to be in session again unless there's some special call of a session until the inauguration. So the idea that you would be able to impeach the president and then go to and have the Senate get to the point of a two-thirds vote in the next 2 weeks is just, you wouldn't have the time to have a trial. You just wouldn't have time to have a trial. So I understand people are going to do that, but practically that's just not, I don't see how that could happen.
Sure. Well, we appreciate you again. I know you were, of course, in Congress late into the evening, and we appreciate you joining us this morning. It's Congressman Brett Guthrie from Washington, D.C. this morning, Kentucky's 2nd Congressional District Representative. Have a great day, Brett.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody.
Goodbye.